That is the Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Raymond Carell Boulle II. So very glad you are joining me. All right. So we've got a lot to talk about today, and some of it's going to be fun, and some of it's going to be a little ranty, because I got a lot to say today. I also, in addition, and to, I also need today to talk about an odd position I find myself in, which is I actually feel sorry for the despot in chief. I feel badly for him, and I will tell you why. I know. And you women are going to be angry at me, okay? But truly, the guy was just trying to score points with the TSOC, okay? President Trump was on the phone with the TSOC of Ireland, the openly gay TSOC, by the way. And you guys don't know what a TSOC is. Let me explain. Ireland has a president, okay? Michael D. Higgins. He's a fun guy. And Michael D. can do certain things, but not very much. TSOC is the Gaelic word for, like, the leader of the tribes. And in Ireland, there's still four tribes, believe it or not. The country is still four different tribal areas. And they follow sort of those governing guidelines. And the TSOC is the guy that actually does the legislating and, you know, you would consider his jobs presidential. But he's not called the president. He's called the TSOC. Okay, so the TSOC, newly elected, openly gay, calls President Trump for the obligatory phone call. There is press in the Oval, as this is a media opportunity. Of course, RTE, which is Ireland's number one main press, RTE is there. And they have a reporter there. So Trump is on the phone with this TSOC, who, by the way, he says to him, I know so many Irish, I know lots of Irish, well, I feel I know all the Irish. I mean, how horrifying is that? But that comment's being overlooked, because while talking to the TSOC, he says, you know, this reporter has a pretty smile. She's from RTE, which is, you know, your media. I bet she treats you well. You know, she's got a pretty smile. I bet she treats you well. So what the 12-year-old in power was trying to do was twofold. He was trying to imply that our media doesn't treat him well. Okay, that was the first thing. I bet she treats you well. So that was to imply that this nice-looking woman with a smile could never be the evil American press, which we're going to talk about later. His attack on the media could now, I think nowadays it could actually be deemed unconstitutional. But we'll talk about that. So the second thing about the pretty smile. Now, I maintain that we now live in a world so sanitized of human connection that when you compliment someone, you could in fact be guilty of sexual harassment. And I believe this with every ounce of fiber in me. I really do. We have moved into this uber politically correct phase. And in this uber politically correct phase, to me, it just seems that you cannot sort of compliment anybody anymore without fear of being a sexual harasser. Now, we know he is, and he brings that baggage to any conversation he has with women. But the fact is, if we live in a world now where you can't say someone has a nice smile even at work, especially at work, do you want to live in that world? Is this the world you want to be in? A world where saying someone has a nice smile is controversial, is a bad thing? Is this really where we want to be? Because I don't want to be in that world. I really don't. I don't want to be in a world where saying to someone you have a nice smile causes an international incident. Okay? I kind of don't want to be in that world. And even for Donald Trump, I mean, come on, people. If it were, you know, if Obama had said that a reporter had a nice smile, you know, well, Obama's not a known sexual offender. No, he's not. But at the same time, did you think Trump was going to take this reporter and toss her and throw her down? You know, right there in front of the press corps? Are you implying he was going to go rape her? You know, that's a lot of baggage that a lot of people are bringing to saying someone's smile is nice. And that's the problem with the world we live in. That even if someone just says, you got a nice smile, all of a sudden, that's it. international incident. And when your ability to govern is so paralyzed that if you simply, you know, tell a woman she has a nice smile and it's written about internationally, maybe you should step down. Quite frankly, I'm just saying. So I actually feel sorry for Trump in so much as he said so many other things that should be national, international headlines. He said so many other things that are horrible. Even on that call, he said horrible things. But I don't think telling someone they have a nice smile is a horrible thing. Do you? I'd like to hear your comments on this. The easiest way is to tell me right now on Facebook at facebook.com/reallycorrell or at my website, Really Correll. Just go there. There's a chat room. There's like 17 people in it right now. Just go ahead and just tell me. Do you think it's so terrible? Or we're bringing the baggage to this. Oh, he's a rapist. He's this. He's that. How dare him call a woman she has a nice smile. He's a married man. So then you're from the Mike Pence school? Where married men should never tell women they have nice smiles and where married men... I mean, so which school are you from? I kind of need to know. Because to me, it seems this was made into too much of a deal. And it speaks to a larger problem in our country, which is that, A, we are all snowflakes now. We're all becoming a little bit snowflakey. You know, there's an article I read today that Steve Cabral sent me, and it was from an Irish gentleman who traveled America for a year. I retweeted the story. And he traveled America for a year, and he did 17 observations about America and Americans, okay? And one of the things that he said is they're all really delicate. That nobody has a sense of humor, and that everybody is quick to jump on the, you know, whatever bandwagon. I couldn't agree more. This political correct error spawned some sort of uber, hyper sort of vigilance that isn't necessary. It is okay. And everyone says, well, he stopped a diplomatic call to... You know what? He thought he was ingratiating himself with the guy on the phone by recognizing one of that guy's countrymen. That's how stupid and infantile this guy is. He's so dumb, he thought that saying, hey, I've got a reporter here from your country right here in my Oval Office. He's so stupid, he thought that would ingratiate him with the guy on the phone because he's out of his league. With anybody. He's out of his league. He's out of the league with the TSOC. The TSOC knows far more about governing than Donald Trump. What is Donald going to talk with him about? Drinking and golf? One of the things the Irishman who traveled America said was a problem. That we think they all drink. Anyway, so I believe, with every ounce of fiber in me, that on this one, he gets a pass. I do. I don't think it's even news. Okay, so he said a female reporter has a pretty smile. Would it make you feel better if he said a male reporter had a... He shouldn't be complimenting any reporters. Why not? Why can't you say, gee, that's a pretty dress. Wow, I like your suit. That tie, that's really cool. Why can't a president be a person too? What are we expecting of these people? 213-985-3527 is my number. 213-985-3527. So, in the chat room at reallycorrell.com, what are the thoughts there? You know, what are your thoughts? Do you believe that this was too far? Or is this something that we really need to give him a pass on? And more importantly, we need to start saying it's okay to compliment people, that you're not a sexual offender if you say to someone, you have a pretty smile. That's a nice outfit. Wow, you look really, you know, good today. Or even, often I will say to just friends, just acquaintances, hi, sexy, hi, handsome. I will say that to people all the time. Hey, handsome. If I were president, I would probably say, let's go to the hot reporter there. You know I would. Come on, you guys, you listen to me. You know if I were president of the United States and I were standing in front of reporters and I had to call on someone, I'd go, you there, the hottie with the blue jacket. You know that I would. So am I evil? Because you know that I... No, come on. You know that I would do that. I know that I would do that. I would do that. I would be like, hey, you, the hottie in the corner. So anyway. Oh, and the things. See, that's why I could never be president. The things that would be written about me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Because I would do that. What's wrong? What's wrong with saying you, the one in the cute jeans? Why? You know, life is about compliment. Life's about sex, by the way. Let's stop pretending we all don't think about sex all the time. So let's just stop. Even old people think about sex. It just takes us longer, and the stuff we think about, it's a lot different. But we still think. So, let's just stop all that. The guy said a woman had a pretty smile. Big whoop-de-doo. Now, if you disagree with me, 213-985-3527. If you agree with me, 213-985-3527. Or email feedback, right, Ember? feedback@reallycorrell.com. That's feedback@reallycorrell.com. I'm having trouble with a light. If you see me keep leaving, it's because there's a light here that just keeps giving me trouble. And I'm upset with it. It needs to stop giving me trouble. I put them up last night. I thought I was doing something fabulous and courageous and bold by putting up my own lights. And what I really did was put a light in a place where it doesn't shine on me. That'll teach me. But oh well. So give him a pass. So he said a girl has a pretty smile. Big deal. You know, the only one that should have problems with this story, by the way, is Melania. Okay? If Melania doesn't have problems with him saying some reporter has a cute smile, then why do we? You know, I'm being really serious here. If Melania is fine with it, okay? If Melania's like, oh, no, I'm good with it. It's okay. If Melania's good with it, why aren't we? Why aren't we? Because she's the only one that should care if the president says someone has a cute smile. Why is it slighting a person's capabilities by saying they're attractive? Why is that slighting their capabilities? Why, in some way, is that reporter to me? This reporter wasn't looking for a compliment. She was just there to do her job. So what? Everybody's just somewhere to do their job. You can't compliment someone when they're there doing their job? I've had many a worker here at the house from, you know, who knows where that's been handsome. And I've said to him, you know, wow, if you ever stop with this, you could do a career in modeling. Now, should I not? I'm inappropriate. No. Everyone else is just uptight. Calm the hell down. Okay? So someone complimented someone. And yes, it was a president. God, in your minds, he raped her. I mean, really. It is really as if the guy threw her right there in front of the press corps down onto the ground and just started grabbing her in the you-know-what. That's what everyone is treating this like. And I'm just, it's kind of a sideshow, isn't it? I kind of think it is. You know, when I say The Carell Show needs you, I'm not joking. We are supported through Patreon. Patreon is this great website where you can go and you can pledge however much per month to the show that you feel we deserve. $4.99 is recommended, but you can give more. Go to reallycorrell.com and just click. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, and oh, hundreds of you, hundreds are watching the video each and every day for Stronger Together, and I thank you. Please go to my website, Really Carell, and watch it at least once a day. It will be inspiring. And the coolest thing is I've seen it on other people's timelines now. They're posting it on their own and saying, this is a cool video, you should listen to the lyrics or whatever. And that's like just touching my heart. So thank you so much for sharing the work. And if you haven't bought it yet, it's only 99 cents. You can watch the video for free at my website, reallycorrell.com. And then please click and buy it for 99 cents. You buy the song, not the video. The video is free. So you can listen to it by watching the video as much as you want, but please buy the song for 99 cents, okay? And that's at reallycorrell.com. Now, we talked already about why a complimenting a smile is not the same as rape, so let's just give the guy a pass on this one. He was trying to ingratiate himself to the TSOC by saying, oh, look, I've got one of your people here, and look, I'm being nice. You know, I mean, so it's stupid, so let's leave that alone. He said worse things yesterday, and more importantly, Congress yesterday. Jason Chaffetz feels that they should get $30,000 a year extra, Congress, extra, more. Because, get this, you're going to love this, because housing is expensive in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, in Los Angeles and San Francisco, we beat them. So he wants a congressional stipend. That's like going to your boss right now, wherever you are in the Northern Bay Area or L.A. or wherever, going to your boss and saying, you know what, housing in our area is just too expensive. Outside of the regular really good paycheck you already give me, you need to give me more money towards my housing. Because you know what? That money is just cutting into my, you know, I'm supposed to be at the, so all employers, basically, is what he's saying, should pay you if you are spending more than 30% of your income on housing. That's what he's saying. Which would mean, if we're going to do it for him, then the government is doing it for a citizen. So that should mean that any citizen that can prove they have too expensive of housing in their area should be able to get a government stipend. Correct? Correct? Let's follow this logic. We're going to do that in the next segment, too, about guilty verdicts that have been in the news recently. And I've got a stunning yet very, how do I say this? Occam's razor is coming up in the next segment. All things being equal, if, you know, the simplest solution is the right one. We're going to talk about that next. But right now, let's get real about this. You know, because I was going to talk about 4th of July fireworks in this segment. My town has seized 5,000 pounds of them. I hate them. I threatened a neighbor last night. I threatened them. I said, if you set off fireworks, I will call the police. I will videotape you. We will have a problem. I just want to remind you, I'm going to be on vacation next week. There will be audio for you. There'll be new shows and Life in Segments audio, and there'll be stuff for you. I just won't be here on the video next week, okay? There'll be shows, so continue to listen to the podcast, continue to support the show. There will be shows next week. There just won't be video. I'm taking next week off. It's one of my 2 weeks off that I take in the summer. I should take a month off. Everybody else in the world does. And I might, who knows, but not in a row. We're going to start with next week. So I'm taking next week off. I will be here with audio, unless the world ends or Trump does something horrific or whatever, then I'll come on live. But for the most part, next week I'll be gone. And, you know, fireworks are bad. They scare dogs. It's the number one day that animals run away. Please, even if you think your pet doesn't get bothered, get some CBD oil. It's called Vet CBD. If you are not a legal cannabis buyer in California, find one of your friends who is. Have them call their dispensary and get Vet CBD. Okay, I give it to Sadie. I give it to Sammy. I gave it to them Friday night when the fireworks were going off around here. They were freaking out. They were shaking. I gave them the CBD oil. Within 30 minutes, they were fine. They were fine. And then after a while, they just went to sleep. So if you can't get Vet CBD, you can go to any pet store, and they are selling CBD treats for pets. Get them, okay? Get a thunder vest if you can, one of those vests that compresses, a compression vest. If it's really bad, be sure you go to the vet and get a sedative for your pet. Please get a sedative. Please, okay? Please. So fire and soldiers, if, you know, there are so many vets out there nowadays that this is not a good sound for them. And Americans, how many of you hear these things and worry about gunshots now? You know, we live in a country where so many people are dying of gun violence and people are coming back from war. We don't need, you know, we have graphics now. We have holograms. We have lights. We have drones that can look like fireworks. Lady Gaga used them at the Super Bowl. We don't need fireworks anymore. Cities should set them off at one place and one place only, and that's it. And even that, all cities should turn now to multimedia, to drones, to lasers, to holograms, and get rid of fireworks. They scare animals, they scare people, and they are a symbol of bombs. As we are about to go to war in Syria, as we're killing people in Afghanistan with bombs, they're not a good thing. They don't symbolize a good thing. Stop with the fireworks. Stop. And it's all right, and he's coming on. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. All you got to do is go to any app store of your choice and download the Karell Cast, and you've got all of me, honey.
Figure out a way. Help a fellow man. If we pray for guidance, keep on trying. Don't stop trying. All is one.
It is the Karell Cast. I am Karell, Charles Karell Boulle. That was me singing a song called Compassion. We need to have some on the 4th of July. All right. So they want a doctor to be prosecuted for manslaughter and or second-degree murder, because she prescribed too many pills to too many people. These people took the pills and died. And they say that this is not a civil thing. This is not a malpractice thing. This is now criminal. Well, first of all, anyone that's been through a malpractice case will take issue with that, because we all felt, every one of us felt, that our cases were criminal cases and not civil. I certainly felt that what the doctors did not do for Andrew Howard was criminal, not civil, okay? So I find that upsetting just in the first place, that they would even consider, you know, criminal charges. So now they want to start prosecuting doctors for the deaths of their patients. Also in the news today, one Ohio lawmaker says 2 overdose calls and we don't come for the third. That's it. You're 2 strikes, you're out. You're dead. Your family has to deal with whatever. You're dead. This is true. This is how they're talking about dealing with the opioid epidemic, when we know that the epidemic is caused by nothing but unhappiness. That's all that's causing our opioid and our obesity problem. We're an unhappy nation, so we're fat, sick, and on drugs. It's that simple. No one wants to Occam's razor that, but that there's the Occam's razor on that, okay? We are fat, we are sick, and we are on drugs. Why? Because we are unhappy. We are an unhappy people. And that's just the way our culture is now. We are unhappy. We are an unhappy culture. We're not a happy culture. We're just not. You know we're not. We're not. We're competitive to a flaw. Now we're defensive about everything. We argue about everything. The president cannot compliment a woman, okay? And I know all of your comments about why the president can't, you know, compliment a woman. But the president can't compliment a woman without international uproar. We fight about everything. Okay, we fight about everything, because there's no need to fight about international, you know, about that. So we fight about everything. We are, excuse me, I'm moving my mic around and my face and everything, because my whole studio is being oh, it's so cool. Wait till you see. We're just getting a different desk in here, and we're doing all kinds of things. So to me, when we talk about the opiate addiction, we talk about unhappiness. Okay, that's what we talk about. Now, they want to persecute this doctor for giving too many pills. And my God, I saw what this woman was prescribed. Holy trifecta of Batman. I mean, Percocet, Xanax, and Selma. That's the trifecta. That's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the one-way ticket to I feel better. Or I don't give a crap about how I feel. Okay, so that's, you know. And he gave this woman a total of 1,200 pills, you know, between the three. And she ate them, and she died. She went against prescribing notes. She took too many. She did not follow what the doctor had said. But since the doctor gave her access to these pills, the doctor is going to be up on charges. Okay. I thought about that last night. I did. I thought, okay. You know, a bartender is now responsible if a bartender sells booze to someone who's obviously drunk, and they go and they get in a wreck. And it's hard for bartenders to actually gauge who's, you know, drunk enough to do that or not. But we hold them responsible. Not the liquor company, but the bartender, the server. So I'm wondering, the pharmacist saw that this woman was getting an enormous amount of pills, okay? Why aren't we cracking the pharmacist's butt here? Why are we going after the prescribing doctor? Now, before we ask those questions, let's just say, okay, that we are. We're not going after the pharmacist, even though the pharmacist is like the bartender. And if we go after the bartenders for serving the booze, not the makers of Jameson's or Jack Daniels or Budweiser, okay? So we're saying that the bartender is like the doctor, because the bartender controls the amount of booze. Well, it's not true. The pharmacy control. A doctor can write whatever they want on a prescription, but for a pharmacy to fill it is another thing. A pharmacy does not have to fill a prescription as presented. There is no law that says your pharmacist has to fill your prescription. They do not. If you don't like it, go to another pharmacy. So pharmacists across the land, they know, you know. But anyway, so they're going after the doctor. Okay, well, let's go with that thinking then. Let's follow this. They say the doctor is guilty for prescribing too many pills, okay? The person then took the pills and died. And they say that a bartender is guilty if they give you alcohol and you go out and you drink and you crash. Then I have a really obvious question that I think they're setting themselves up for, and I think it couldn't be better. I want these ridiculous lawsuits to go through. I want the doctor to be put in jail. And do you know why? Do any of you in the chat room at reallycorrell.com know why? Do any of you know why I want the doctor to be put in jail? And I want them to continue to do the bartenders. Do you, any of you know why? Anybody? Can you think of it? Can you see where my logic is going? Anybody? Okay, guess the people at reallycorrell.com are asleep. What about over at Facebook? Any of you? Can any of you down there below me in the comment area, can you see where I want, why I want them punished? Okay. The reason is simple. There is not a conservative or Republican or Democratic or libertarian judge in the land that will be able to say that gun manufacturers are not to blame for gun deaths if doctors are responsible for drug overdoses. It is the exact same logic, and you can't argue against that logic. If this doctor goes to jail for murder, okay, for negligent homicide, for giving too many pills to someone who then used the pills to kill themselves, or, you know, to OD, then you have to hold gun manufacturers responsible for putting guns in the hands of people that will kill a large amount of people that have no safeguards, no trigger locks, no owner ID, no nothing. They give them these lethal things, and then they go do harm with them. It's the exact same principle. And I know a lot of you right now are going, oh my God. Because everyone I said, hey, isn't it the same principle? If a doctor prescribes too many pills and the doctor is now guilty of murder because that person died, then isn't the gun manufacturer guilty of the deaths of people at the hands of the guns? It is the exact same logic. If you punish a bartender for feeding someone too much booze, well, can you not punish a gun seller at least for selling someone a gun? You should have known. You should have known this person. It's the exact same logic. And I had to bring it up today. Now, is there a chance in hell it'll happen? Probably not. Especially since the Supreme Court, Gorsuch really is Scalia. And if Kennedy resigns, we're done. The United States is done in my lifetime. 40 years of darkness from the Supreme Court. So, no case will ever go. But see, that's why America can't succeed. See, I hate to say that, but in my lifetime, I'll see the death of America. I really have seen the death of America in my lifetime. I really have. It's so sad. I wish I could have been alive at any other time. Trust me on this. I really mean this. You know, everyone says it's exciting times. No, it's not. The 1920s, the Gatsby era, that was an exciting time. Yes, there was poverty and war and the Depression, but I've lived through all that now. 2008 was every bit as bad as the Great Depression, and if you don't think it was, then you weren't living in my hood. We had the same lines. We had the Hoovervilles. We still do. I could bring you to a place right along the Los Angeles riverbed with over 50 tents and homeless people. I was behind a homeless family yesterday in my local park right over here, and it ripped my heart out. A mother, a father, and three children, probably ages 7 on down or maybe even 8 on down. Like 8, 6, and 4. And they were homeless, walking down the street and with their blankets wrapped around them. And I just, my heart hurt. An entire family in the streets. So you want to tell me that this depression was any kind of, no. I've lived through the same stuff. And I'll tell you right now, if we could have lived through that stuff and had a better America on the other side like they did, because if they came out of the depression, they got Medicare, Social Security, they got all kinds of stuff. We come out of the Depression, we get austerity. Do you see the difference? The last Great Depression, they came out of it. America said, we love you, we're going to help you. And they got jobs. Writers got jobs. Artists got jobs doing things like photographing national parks, writing booklets. They employed everybody, or tried. They didn't just employ, you know, factory workers, the New Deal and all of that. They put everyone back to work. Actors, singers, dancers, trapezists. They tried to get America back going again. All this government has done is austerity. Take. You're a drain on society. You take too much. You're not the right kind of person. Go get a job if your benefits get taken. That's what we have going on now. So, I'm sorry, but the America that we had back then, well, it's gone now, and we're seeing the death of it. So I don't think that in my lifetime I'll see common sense take hold, and it's why America is crashing. Because it's obvious. We have the number one national security issue, the thing that endangers more people, okay? The top three things that kill more Americans than any terrorist ever. Anybody in the chat room want to guess what they are? The top three things that kill more Americans than anything anywhere. The top three things. By the numbers. Just by the numbers. The top three things. The biggest threats to your life are, number one, anybody? Guns. Gun violence. 38,000 people a year. Okay? Number two, automobiles. 37,000 people a year, plus the pedestrians 12 a day, plus bicyclists. So, cars. Let's just say transportation. So, guns and transportation are the top two killers of Americans. Number three, killer of Americans? Number three, anybody? Food. The number three killer of Americans, bad food. Our food supply is toxic. So, the top two, guns and cars, we do nothing about. Kills over 70,000 people. Look at your town. How many people live in your town? How many? If it's 70,000 or less, cars and guns will kill that many people this year. Okay? And nothing will be done about it. Nothing at all. And then food. High sugar, high fructose corn syrup, high fat, high meat. You know, all of that in our food supply is killing us. So the top three killers that kill, probably if you combine food, guns, and cars, you have millions of Americans dying, and nothing happens. Nothing. One terrorist kills four people, the world freaking shuts down, okay? But in America, guns, food, and transportation are your enemies. That's who will kill you in America. Guns in the hands of other Americans, cars driven by other Americans, and food sold to you by multinational corporations in American grocery stores and restaurants. Those are the three biggest threats to your life in America by the numbers, okay? By the numbers. Not opioid addiction, not drug overdosing. Nope. Minuscule amount of people overdose on drugs. And in terms of opioid addiction, a minuscule, less than 0.1% of Americans are addicted to opiates. It's not a problem, really. It's really not. No one wants to hear the opiate addiction is not really a problem, unless you are a lover of or a loved one of an opiate addict. When we come back, is it unconstitutional? And better yet, is it actionable in terms of criminality? I'd like to believe my podcast is worth at least a quarter. So how about you go to my website, reallycorrell.com. That's reallycorrell.com. And join Patreon right there. And every month you can give us $4.99 for the Corell Cast. Buy a podcast, damn you. I agree with Randy Rhodes. Buy one. Mine.
Mom, Johnny's. Work the body. Till you sweat.
It is the Corell Cast. I am Corell, Charles Corell Boulay. That's from my album Dancer Elk with the first AME choir written and produced by Holland and Holland, without the Dozier. Two of the people who wrote all the Supremes songs of import wrote that song for me. It's on my album Dancer Elk, which you get as a Patreon subscriber for $4.99 a month or more for free as a download. If you haven't gotten yours and you're a Patreon subscriber, just hit me up. And I'll say, oh, let me get it right to you. All right, before we go, and this is something that we should talk about a lot, but since I go on vacation Friday afternoon, for a week. But you'll have new audio, but I'm still going on vacation Friday. And Friday, we're doing Psychic Susie. So if any of you want a psychic reading, now's your time. Email feedback@reallycorrell.com. Feedback@reallycorrell.com. Put the word psychic in the subject matter. Feedback@reallycorrell.com or call 213-985-3527 if you want a psychic reading Friday at 12:15. If you're available for a phone call Friday at 12:15, then email feedback@reallycorrell.com or call 213-985-3527. We need about 10 people still. So feedback@reallycorrell.com or 213-985-3527, 213-985-3527, or feedback@reallycorrell.com if you want a free psychic reading on Friday, okay? All right. A reporter, and I could play you the audio, but a reporter pretty much told off Huckabee's, you know, daughter. She's not physically fit. She's not. She's a representation of America, but not a good one. Anyway, so told her off and said, "We are sick of you demeaning us. We are sick of you being inflammatory towards us, the media. It is not right. You are just a 4-year elected administration. We are seasoned pros that are here doing our job. You need to give us a little respect, honey." It was like a lover's quarrel where finally the mousy lover stood up and said, "You've got to give me some respect, baby. You need to respect me, honey. I am sick to death taking me for granted. You come home every day. Where's my dinner? Where's this? Where's that? Do you ever start to think about my life? Do you ever start to think about me? I'm over here trying to report on you. I'm trying to get things right. You guys change positions every 20 minutes. The president says one thing, you say another. I'm trying to keep it all straight, and then you blame me when I get something wrong when you guys can't even get it right." That's not exactly how he did it, but he should have. And of course, she's all, "I take great issue with you saying I did anything wrong. I am above reproach, as is the president. How dare you?" Okay. The press is the only thing guaranteed in our Constitution. Freedom of the press. That's it. That's the only thing. So it's really important to our founders. So when does it become a breach of his office, a high crime, that he continually tries to single out media that he does not like CNN and others, and delegitimize the American press? Is that not a high crime to Congress? It should be. And Congress can say what a high crime is. But when a president tries, and by the way, this is a president that has a fake Time magazine cover of himself at his golf courses. He was never on the cover of Time in 2009. And yet at his golf courses, he has a big poster of him on the cover of Time magazine, which they have asked that he take down. It is the ultimate fake news. He is the biggest perpetrator of fake news. He has a fake magazine cover on the walls of his golf courses to boost his credibility. Now does that not rise to high crime? He is spitting on the First Amendment of the Constitution. He is trying to impede the freedom of the press. He is trying to actually get rid of members of the press. He is demeaning to the press. And it has undermined our American electorate system. Now, if that's not a high crime, I don't know what is. And I am serious as a heart attack. I feel that to impeach this man, we need to do nothing more than his attack on the media. And the fact that he knew the Russians were, in fact, attacking media. They were doing fake news sites, okay? And he knew that. And to that end, the one good news about the fake news sites and about all the trolls, a lot of people over the age of 30 are reporting at least 5 hours a week less internet usage because they're tired of all the negativity, the trolls, they're just tired of it all. So they're getting off the web. Isn't that fun? As Facebook announces today that 1/4 of the world, 2 billion people, are on Facebook. Just giving up their entire lives, 1/4 of the world, to Zuckerberg. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so long it doesn't hurt anybody. You can keep shaking your head. Oh, Lord.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell.
am a sender. It's an escapist story because people want to escape because life sucks right now. It is the Carellcast. I am Charles Carell Boulay, heard right here at Park Howard in Long Beach, California. You know, we were talking about escape in that last segment of how this story at the San Francisco Chronicle about this adorable couple that decided to leave their apartment, leave their tech jobs, go peruse in a van. They had the money, of course. They weren't living out of there, you know, for because they couldn't afford to. And they have an end in sight, but they wanted to see what they were going to see. Okay, great, fine. Go learn when you're young. That's fine. You know, really, it's fine. But today, we have so many living in vans out of, not out of choice, but out of necessity. And so I get a little, I don't know, touchy about these kinds of stories. Only because I worry about those of us who, you know, would have to live in a van. And I talked about medicating, you know, and how we are medicating. There is a really sad story out today about how more U.S. women, okay, are hospitalized for opioid abuse than men. U.S. cases rose 75% for females versus 55% for men over a decade. So this is a long study, okay? Opioid-related hospitalizations among women in the U.S. increased far faster than among men between 2005 and 2014. Among women, hospitalizations involving opioid painkillers or heroin, and this is so, you see, Carrie Fisher's in the news. She had opioids and heroin in her system. She is a woman. The day after we find that out, there's a story that it's not just Carrie Fisher, that many, many women over the last 10 years have been turning to opioids and heroin. In fact, hospitalizations involving opioids and women rose 75% over the last 10 years, compared to just 55% amongst men. The surge in these women among this 10-year period meant that by 2014, males and females were being hospitalized at a similar rate, meaning about 225 hospitalizations per 100,000 people. That's a lot. That's a lot. And in many places like West Virginia, Maryland, and Massachusetts, women are exceeding 350 hospitalizations per 100,000. For men, it's D.C., by the way. D.C., number one opioid consumption for men, D.C. What does that tell you? New York and Maryland, the surrounding areas of D.C. Well, they are all on drugs up there, all of them. I bet half the Congress, more than half the Congress is on opiates, I guarantee it. They're old. I guarantee half of them are on Percocet and OxyContin. I guarantee it. And you have no way of finding out. You cannot request whether or not they're on a drug. But if you want something you paid for, like, let's say, I don't know, health insurance or, unemployment, they can test you. The lowest rates for men and women are in Iowa and Nebraska for some reason. You're not drugging it up out there in Iowa and Nebraska. Men were more likely than women to make opioid-related visits to the ER, but such visits rose sharply for both sexes over the 9 or 10 years of the report. And the age groups are interesting. In California and in 12 other states, okay, the hospital rate was highest among people 65 and older. Why are we old people taking too many opioids? Is it doctors trying to medicate our old age pains away? Is it us trying to medicate our old age pains away? You know what? I wonder what it is. I don't know. They might have less access in Iowa and Nebraska, according to a chatter at reallycarell.com. That could be possible. They could have stronger opiate rules in those states, Iowa and Nebraska. Thank you for that. Yeah. So, D.C. has everything all the time. Yeah, amen. You can get it on my pizza. Hello, Domino's. I'd like the Percocet pepperoni, please. Yes, make that half 5 milligram Percocet and the other half 10 milligram Percocet, please. And then if you could just put the pepperoni right on top of the tablet so I don't have to see them, that'd be great. Extra cheese? Yeah, of course. That's fine. Yeah. So some mozzarella, pepperoni, and then the 5 milligram on the right. Let's see. How will I tell them apart? Why don't you put pineapple on the side with the 5 milligram and then the side with the 10 milligram, just put the pepperoni. Okay, great. Okay. 30 minutes or less? Okay, great. Yeah. How much is the pizza? Oh, $143.50. Okay, great. You got it. See you in 20 minutes. Yeah, there we go. There's the future of D.C. Anyway, All the states that provided data on opioid-related visits to the ER, the rate was highest among 25 to 44-year-olds when it comes to the ER visits. Okay? The ER visits. When it comes to overall use of the opioids and having to be seen in the hospital for them or hospitalized, whatever, at 65 and older. So we have two groups, 25 to 44, who are medicating so much they're going to the ERs now in record numbers, and we have 65 and older. Now, how many of you think the answer is to regulate opioids more? How many of you think the answer is to make it harder to get these drugs, to prescribe less of the drugs? How many of you think that's the answer? In the chat room right now, we've got 19 people, which is great, by the way. How many of you, it says 17 online, sorry. How many of you believe that opioid use and opioid-related addictions, opioid trips to the ER, and all of that can be quelled if doctors prescribe less and the state controls the amount? How many of you think more control of the drug itself is the answer to this problem? How many? I'd like to hear from you at Really Carell. That's feedback at reallycarell.com. Feedback at reallycarell.com. If you believe limiting access to the drug is the answer to the opioid problem, how many of you think that? In the chat room, they say education and open discussion is the answer plus good available treatment. Wrong. That's absolutely wrong. That's wrong. You're completely wrong. Wow. And I don't mean to be rude. I mean, let me rephrase, guest in the chat room. You're saying what the government and what health agencies want you to recite, that education and treatment will stop the opiate addiction. That if a person on opiates is treated, you know, goes off, gets, you know, withdraws, and then is given counseling and treatment, that they will stay off the drugs. That is the general thinking. That you get a person that's on the opiates for chronic pain. You get them on some sort of new therapy for the chronic pain, which ain't going to take it away, by the way. Because what doctors don't want to tell patients is we have no effective treatment for your chronic pain. They don't want to tell people that. That their business is to sell you a treatment for your chronic pain. They're not going to tell you, we don't have one. You're really better to do yoga if you have a back injury. And yesterday, some Boston University just released yoga for back injuries after a 10-year study. It actually is great for a back injury. It actually can relieve pain, but not every pose, not every stretch. There's a very specific way that you should do yoga if you have a back injury. And they released that way for free yesterday. Imagine that. I downloaded it from the Boston Medical website. It is an instruction manual for instructors how to conduct a class for people with back injuries. I think yoga instructors should download that and add at least one class a day for back injuries into their regime, and they'll fill up, I guarantee it. So they don't want to tell you that there's no cure for your chronic pain, that there are some things in life that are going to hurt. They don't want to tell you that. And no, Chatter, I'm not talking about just saying no. Okay, that we know that doesn't work. They are regulating opioids now, and pain management doctors are not able to practice medicine and relieve pain. Exactly. There are people that need opioids. That's another thing we don't really want to hear. That there, of people with chronic pain, there are some where the pain is so bad that they just really could not function. They'd have no life at all if it weren't for pain medicine. Now, those people need to continue to be on the medicine. It works differently for them. Doesn't make them high. They don't get addicted. It works differently. They get dependent, which is different. Okay? You know, I'm watching the show Claws. I think you all should, too. Give it a chance. It's on TNT. Niecy Nash is a wonder. She's always been a wonder. I love Niecy Nash. And they deal in Florida hydrocodone clinics, oxycodone clinics. And they dispense the drugs there. And the way they make it look on drug refill day, where these people are literally clawing over each other in the lobby to get their pills. Now, I have the answer. Denise, you're watching Claws? I love it. The publicist just sent me a link to the first four episodes. Denise, if you email me, I'll send you that link. I'll send you the link, and you can see episodes 4 and 5 before everybody else. I have the password for the media site. I'm serious, Denise. Email me and I'll send you the links. You can watch two more episodes. They're great episodes. Oh, I was in love with Roller. I wanted to have his children. He was an a-hole, but he was hot. And Uncle Daddy, what a weird name, Uncle Daddy. Because he raised his nephew's kids, so they call him Uncle Daddy. That's just really weird. He's the guy from Breaking Bad, the brother on Breaking Bad. They have a lot of great actors. They have an actress from The Good Wife that played the mousy, redheaded lawyer that always won because she was so weird. They have Niecy Nash. They have the guy from Breaking Bad. They have a great cast on Claws. I don't mean to get distracted, but you should watch it. It's a nice distraction. But they sell oxycodone on the show. And they show these Florida clinics in which they're trying to cut down nowadays, but still they show that these people will literally stab you, you know, if you get in the way of them and their refill. And it's true. Now, I know why these stories are appealing. Women, I know why you are now catching up to and exceeding men in opioid abuse. I know why. Do y'all know why? How many know why? Why does anybody abuse drugs? There's only one word. One word. The study was done. The research has been proven. It is 40-year-old research. It has been accepted. All scientists believe it. Why do people abuse drugs? Come on, somebody in the chat room. I know you know the answer. It's one word. Come on. Why do people abuse drugs? Why do you take too many opiates to where you have to go to the hospital? What are you numbing? Why do you abuse the drugs? Come on, people. Someone in the chat room. Denise, Joanna, Carter, Maxwell. There's many other guests there. Over here at Facebook. Come on, Facebook. I'm reading right below me. I can see you guys with your likes and your everything. In fact, we're going to talk about... Let's see. I'm pointing over here. Where am I pointing? This way? We're going to talk about this like button right here. If you're looking down and you're watching me on Facebook, there's a like button right there. And if you're looking, there's a rainbow. You can like it with a rainbow. I'm going to talk to you about that rainbow button in just a second. All right. Why do people abuse drugs? Why? Proven research. I'll give you, Denise, 10 seconds. Da 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 da. Okay, five. Let's see. Guest number 135. I don't know who you are. You're not a one-word answer, but you are basically right. Johanna, you are right with your first answer, your first word. Guest number 737 or 39, you are correct. Denise, you are correct. And hello, that's their guest name. Hello, you are correct. The research is out. I want to tell you something that I do personally. This is very personal, okay? This is very personal. I can't even believe I'm sharing this on the radio. This is why I love you. I love you guys. So I'm going to share my heart with you. I take opiates. I am currently weaning down. I was taking a large amount every day for a regular human being. 1.5 pills 4 times a day, okay? Because of my size, 1 didn't work for the pain. So 1.5 did work. And I took one at 5 in the morning, at noon, at 5 in the or 6 in the afternoon, and then again at bedtime at about 11 or 12. So about every 6 hours. So every 6 hours for 3 years, I took 1.5 Percocet for 1.5 of them 4 times a day. I do not take that many now. When we come back, I want to tell you something that I do every time I go to take a Percocet. Every time. No matter how many I'm taking it. I'm going to talk to you really honest when we come back. Don't go anywhere, okay? I listen to the Karellcast. Well, how do you do that? There's an app for that, honey. That's right. That's what you can tell your friends. Every time they say, oh, I love Karell. I used to love him. How do I listen to him? Say, there is an app for that. And you can get it at any app store that you want. It's the Karellcast, and it's perfectly free. Get it. Oh, I have laid myself bare many a time. I don't care if you see what's in my heart, my dirty closets, my dirty shoes, my dirty laundry. I don't care because I'm a human, and with that comes frailty. That's why I didn't care about Carrie Fisher's frailties. I don't care. I'm Carell. This is the Carell Cast. I'm Charles Raymond Carell Boulay II. My mama made me perfect in every single way except one. I'm a human. I'm a human, and therefore I am imperfect. I struggle with chronic pain more than you know. I cry, I crawl, I barely can get up. I film videos where I can't stand. where I'm filmed from various angles so you can't tell, oh, the last 3 years, the things I've done to hide my back injury. And one of them has been take pills. 84 Percocet every 2 weeks, 168 Percocet a month. 1.5 tablets, 4 times a day. That's what I took for several years, like clockwork. I had my little pill thing, all little 4 doses there, along with my heart pill and my blood pressure pill and an aspirin. And that was my day. Well, recently, I told my doctors I'd like to wean down and see where my pain level is and see how I'm doing. And if you just go cold turkey, which I have done, and which I can't say I recommend, because if I do and you do it and something happens, you can sue me. But I will say for me, it is the preferred method to quit opiates. Just stop. It's horrible. It's opiate detox. It's terrible. You'll poo the bed and you'll shiver and sneeze for 3 days. And, oh, you'll have horrible things for 2 weeks. And then it's over. The horribleness is after day 4 is over. It's horrible for 4 days. Horrible. Like nothing you... It's horrible. Some of you know. Some of you out there already know. The first day, you're sneezing. Your skin is all getting goosebumps. The pain increases, like, exponentially because it wants you to take the pill. You can't eat. Your emotions go everywhere. You're crying 1 minute. You're not the next. You're happy. You're sad. Oh, my God. It's hard. Your legs run in bed night number 2 and 3. Your anxiety shoots up. You want to die several times. You think about killing yourself several times. All of that in a 72-hour period, and then it slows way down. And then suddenly the diarrhea stops. You get diarrhea uncontrollable because this drug really messes with you. It really does. If you don't think opiates mess with you, quit them. So I'm doing it the right way. I'm weaning down. I've gone from 6, from 1.5, 4 times a day, to 1, 3 times a day. And so now we've cut the dose in just completely half. And now over the next 2 weeks, it goes down totally to 2 a day. And finally, I'll be clear of them all in the end of July, or middle to end of July. I'll be clear of them all. Now, I have a bottle, you know, in my cabinet, and I could eat as many as I want and then be out of them or whatever. But, you know, no one's stopping me from taking 10 a day, 12 a day, whatever, as we talk about people going to the hospital. Now, why don't I? Why don't I? I'll tell you why I don't. And this is something I want all of you to do. When you are reaching for your pain pill, and I know a lot of you are on them, when you are reaching for your pain pill, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I in a physical pain? And I really want you to ask yourself that. At this moment, am I in physical pain? If the answer is yes, the second question I want you to ask yourself is, can I bear it? Okay? Because this is what I do every time I take those pills now, every time. And as you all see, I'm much better. I am on my way to being me again. I'm back. It's just wonderful. The back pain is much, much less. I still have a lot of back pain, but the sciatica is gone. I still have crippling. I am still disabled. I'm legally disabled. My back has now made me completely 100% legally disabled. But the sciatic pain is gone. So ask yourself, am I in pain? Question number 2, how much pain? Question number 3, can I bear it? And don't be a baby. Question number 4, will something else in my arsenal medicate it? Meaning, will an ibuprofen or an naproxen sodium or a walk or a shower or all of those, will that help the pain? When the answers to all of those questions are no, the next question you ask yourself is, am I taking this because I'm unhappy? Because that is the only reason people abuse drugs. So every time, if you are on pain meds for chronic pain, every time you go to take one, ask yourself, is the pain physical or emotional? If it's emotional, put that pill down. Put it down. Walk away. Give it to your husband or wife to hold. Give it to a roommate to hold. Do not take it. And if you reach a point where you find that you've been medicating the emotional pain more than the physical, then get off those drugs. They're not for emotional pain. Okay? I hope I've helped somebody here today with that and just being so honest. I am Carell. Be who you want to be so long as it doesn't hurt anybody. I love you guys so much. I share it all with you each and every day. Ember the LBC pup says bye. She's sleeping, you know.
You're listening to The Carell Show.